Listen live online at WADK.com.
Okay, and welcome to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence, and that was a little bit of James Montgomery. You heard in the background a little bit of James Montgomery on the phone. How are you, James?
Hey, good. How are you doing? You know, I think that track you were playing was from 1981.
I think it was from 1881.
Well, yeah, I was going to say 1981. I would have been 3 years old, and it was unbelievable to see a three-year-old out during the circuit. And those, me and Stevie Wonder were the only ones.
There you go. And you are, it's great to have you on, and it's great to have you on in your hometown in Newport.
Well, I love WADK. It's my favorite station.
Well, and you were on the air here for a while as well, right?
Well, yeah, I was, I had that radio show that was syndicated, and I think we made an occasional appearance over there.
And so you are being inducted on, Sunday into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame, along with a pretty illustrious crew. You've got David Blue. You have John Chan. You've played up with Chan's, right? Chan, John Chan is a fun place to be. Tom Gent, Lloyd Kaplan, Paul Murphy, Mike Renzi, and lighting awards of Andrew. And I'm not sure what those lighting awards are. I presume those are people who are.
Well, yeah, Leroy Bennett and his partner, those guys.
Andrew Pollan, I guess, or Pollan and Bob Morrissey.
Yeah, they started out in the same company. Leroy Bennett now is like he did the lighting for the Lady Gaga halftime performance at the Super Bowl. So I guess he's gone somewhere in this business. And for me, you know, inducting Paul Murphy, they're going to let me be the one who actually presents the award to the family, because Paul, it's going to be a posthumous award for Paul. But, you know, Paul was my guitar player for 7 years, and we drove to every show together listening to either sports radio or WADK.
Oh, there you go.
And, and so, you know, that's going to be such an honor for me to be able to present the award for Paul Murphy.
And he's also played with another great Rhode Islander, Greg Abbate. One of the fine sax players from Rhode Island.
Yeah, and he was also in Duke Robillard's band for years, and you know, and for Duke to hire a second guitar player is like unheard of. So Paul Murphy was just one of the most loved guys in the history of Rhode Island or national music, I should say.
The what does it mean to you to be inducted into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame?
You know, for me, you know, I look at the guys and the girls and the people who are in that Hall of Fame, and for me, just to be included in that family is a great feeling. I mean, you know, I've been playing with Duke and Cafferty and Mark Cutler and you know, Steve Smith and all these guys. We've been playing together for 30 or 40 years, some of us in them. And, you know, just to be acknowledged that I'm part of that family is a great feeling. You know, it's like a brotherhood. It really is.
One of the guys I'd love to get or see inducted into the Hall of Fame, I don't know if you know Richie Price.
Richie Price?
Yeah. Richie Price is a trumpet player. He was lead trumpet player with Lionel Hampton for a while, played with...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he played with the Count Basie Orchestra. He's actually in the International Drum and Bugle Call Hall of Fame. So,
well, he certainly sounds like a deserving candidate.
Yeah, and an educator.
What a great gig that is.
Yeah, music educator. It's a guy you should know. He actually lives down here, I think. A music educator as well. He taught at Hendricken in Warwick, and he taught down here at Portsmouth Junior High. Great stories he'd tell about Hendricken. He would he left. His wife told him, he said that he had to get health insurance, so he ended up getting this teaching job. And whenever Lionel would go somewhere to play, he would give him a call and say, "Richie, we're going to the White House, or Richie, we're going to Paris." He'd run and get a sub, fill in for him, and go off with Lionel Hampton. But
wow,
know, really interesting guy. Someone that I think is not recognized enough in Rhode Island. I put in plugs for Richie. He's a good friend and just a terrific musician. And nobody plays the national anthem like Richie Price.
Well, you know, when we're done with this call me back and give me his number. I'll throw him on some of my shows. I'd love to have him.
Oh, great. I'll do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, let me go back to the early days. You were born in Detroit.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about your childhood and how you came to music.
Well, you know, every blues musician has like a moment, you know, where they, you know, I had that radio show for 5 years. I interviewed 100 blues musicians, and almost every one of them has like a moment when they heard blues, and they said, "Wow, that's what I want to do." And that happened to me when I was 15. I heard a guy playing live blues harmonica for the first time. I heard live blues, and it just really struck a deep chord. So, you know, within 6 months, I was fronting that band, and then those guys all left to go to college. So I started a blues band in Detroit and was very successful. We ended up opening up for Iggy Pop and MC5 while I was in high school. And then when I got to BU, I started a jam band with the Skunk Baxter my first year in college. You know, and Skunk went on to play with the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan. And then my college band took off. You know, the last 2 years in college, my college band did really, really well. And, you know, so as soon as I got out of college, we ended up signing a major deal with Capricorn Records and hit the rub with the Allman Brothers and Steve Miller and Bruce Springsteen and, you know, everybody, Peter Frampton, Marshall Tucker, Lynyrd Skynyrd. We actually toured with everybody that there was to tour with, so it was a great experience, and we did really well, and continue to do well to this day.
As a youngster in Detroit, did your parents were they musicians or anybody in the family musicians?
Well, no, they weren't. And my father had a tin ear and used to whistle Dixieland music, and every note was off key. My mom was a huge Errol Garner fan, which was kind of cool because she played Errol Garner all the time, and he was such a jammer that that some of my phrasing comes from that jazzy Errol Garner stuff. But
and he, if I remember, I listened to some of his stuff. Didn't he almost like grunt through some of his songs?
Yeah, he did. He did. He made a lot of visceral sounds to go along with his playing. But anyway, so but my brother John and I were huge rock and roll fans, and we used to we had every rock and roll record that came out. We'd sit in the basement with one of those 45 changers and listen to one after the other, and then. And like I say, and then I saw live blues for the first time, and it just changed my life. I went out and I joined the jug band, and I started listening to Sonny Terry and the Jim Queskin band and Mel Lyman playing harmonica. And then by the time the Beatles and the Stones came out, I was already familiar with blues. But they kind of like increased my knowledge of, you know, like, that McKinley Morgan Field was Muddy Waters. And
you know, I'm going to hold you there for a minute, James. We're going to go to a break. We come back. I want to go back a little bit to the jug band stuff, because I think I remember Jim Queskin and his music, and some of that's pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, it came in handy for me. I'll talk about it when we come back.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
The time has come once again for Mix 93 to take you back in the day with the third annual Mix 93 Old School Prom.
Yo, DJ, pump this party!
That's right, we are throwing it back to the good old days and letting you relive your prom on Friday, May 4th at the beautiful Atlantic Resort in Newport.
Sweet!
This year we are going bigger and better with a larger guest list and even more ways to win.
Oh my God.
God, Becky, look at her.
But the only way you'll be able to dance to the greatest throwback tracks all night long is to win your way in. So make sure you listen every weekday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your 7 daily chances to win tickets to the most exclusive party of the year.
Go, Jake, boy. It's your birthday.
You can also sign up on Mix93.com for a daily chance to win your way in to our all old school costume party. Another way to register is to go to Facebook.com/Mix93 and let us know you want to go to the old school prom. So grab your best old school gear, come dress as your favorite throwback celebrity, or come dress for prom. And meet us at the Atlantic Resort at 240 Aquinic Avenue in Middletown, Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m. for the third annual Mix93 Old School Prom.
The third annual Mix99.3 Old School Prom takes place Friday, May 4th at the Atlantic Resort Newport, located at 240 Aquidneck Ave in Middletown. And the third annual Mix99.3 Old School Prom is brought to you by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, Riverhead Building Supply, and Whaley's Brewing Company.
When you are fit and receive your contact lenses from Specs Eye Care, you also get the experience of our doctors in choosing the best contact lens for you. You don't get that online. Cooper lenses such as Fresh Day, My Day, and Biofinity are contact lenses that provide our patients comfort with increased oxygen and wettability, great vision with many designs for distance, reading, and astigmatism correction, and flexible wearing and replacement schedules. Call Specs Eye Care at Middletown, 846-1620, or Tiverton, 624-1620, to make an appointment from Specs Eye Care today.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Blenheim Newport. Law offices of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg. Chris Offenberg, Elder Law. Balance at Home. Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding. And Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
The Irish Hour. Sunday mornings at 8 on 1540 AM WADK.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. Some strange music went on there, but that's okay. Welcome back to James Montgomery, who's with us today. He's going to be inducted on Sunday into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame. And you're also going to perform on Sunday, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm going to perform with my own band after my induction, and then when we induct Paul Murphy, you know, of course, Paul played with everybody in the state of Rhode Island. So Greg Abadi and some of the people that he played with are going to play. And then I'm going to actually bring the band that I had when Paul was in my band, Lenny Bradford, who's now out with Joe Lewis Walker, and my drummer, Steve Barbuto, who's now out with Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. So I'm bringing in the guys that that played with me and Paul. So I get to play twice. I get to play once as my own band and then once to honor Paul. And then Duke Robillard, of course, the genius guitarist that he has suggested that when he plays at the end of the night that I come up and do something with him too. So
that sounds like a great night. And people can get tickets and attend, right? They can probably go to the Music Hall of Fame website, I would guess.
Yeah, and also I think they can go right to the Met, you know, because it's in that big complex over there in Pawtucket. Or I guess that's my Detroit pronunciation. It should be Pawtucket, I think, is how I'm supposed to say it. But anyway, So yeah, Music Hall of Fame, but also I think that you can go right to the Met and get them there.
So I want to drift back a little bit to the jug band days. You started with the jug band music?
Yeah, I did. And so, you know, I heard a jug band and then immediately fell in love with that. I actually learned how to play the jug and, it was okay at the washtub bass, but our washtub bass player was like really good. And then, and I played harmonica in that band and, you know, started following the Question band around and it was through Jim Question. He mentioned Paul Butterfield and the first time I saw Paul Butterfield, I was expecting a folky band and they blew me away with the high energy electric sound that the Butterfield band had. So then our jug band went electric the next day. I think we beat Dylan. I think we went electric before Bob. But also it came in really handy because, the first time I played with Les Paul, he called me up on stage at the Iridium, which was a dinner theater. And, you know, he was playing jazz standards. So when I called up a blues shuffle, the whole place went crazy because, you know, it's that infectious, shuffle music, you know. I called up Chicken Shack. But anyway, so the crowd's going nuts and Les goes, gee, James, he said, where'd you learn how to play harmonica like that? And I said, well, I started in a jug band. And Les said, well, so did I. He says, you in the front row, empty that bottle of wine and pass it up here. So I got a wine bottle and he calls off a ragtime sign because about half of jug band music was ragtime music. And so I play with Les Paul. He gives me a solo in the middle of it, a stop chorus solo in the middle of it. And again, I go over big because, you know, who's ever played jug with Les Paul? And then three or four days later, snail mail, I get a picture of me playing a bottle with Les Paul, and Les Paul captioned the photograph. It said, James, you played a bottle because we didn't have a jug. I'm so proud of you, Les Paul. So I think I'm the only person in the jazz world who's played jug with Les Paul, so that my jug band training came in handy later on in life as well.
The you went from the jug band and you went to blues and nothing in between?
Well, no, you know, because like I say, my jug band eventually became semi-electric. All the guys in the jug band were older than me. So they all went off to college or went out of town. And so I was just sitting there going, you know, what am I going to do now? But at that point, I had seen Paul Butterfield and I'd seen James Cotton and I'd seen Buddy Guy and Junior Wells. And, you know, I wanted something electric at that point. So I started the Montgomery Miller Blues Band, I think probably my junior year in high school. And then, took LSD at some point and changed the name of the band from the Montgomery Miller Blues Band to the Great Cosmic Expanding. But that only lasted about a month and then we went back to Montgomery Miller Blues Band again. But while I was in the Cosmic Expanding, the Detroit Underground paper, which was big, the Fifth Estate it was called, compared the Cosmic Expanding to Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. So my high school band was getting compared to Frank Zappa.
Not bad.
That was pretty good. Oh, who I ended up touring with, by the way.
So you had the high school band, and when I look around at what goes on in Rhode Island in particular, a lot of jazz. There's a lot of high school jazz bands, and they're doing pretty well in these competitions up in Berkeley. Do you see a growth in blues and jazz and music in general in high schools that are really developing the next generation of professionals?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things. Tom Dowd produced my second record, and of course he produced Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles and Greg Allman and the Allman Brothers and Eric Clapton. But he indicated to me that blues is like a cyclical thing and it'll always go through, a kind of a cyclical movement. Number one, there's always young people, who don't want to just accept whatever pop music is thrown at them and they gravitate toward jazz or blues or classical music or one of the niche markets. So there's always going to be a certain amount of young people that kind of rebel against pop and discover blues and jazz and classical music. The other thing is with high school kids, you know, if you put them in a high school band and they're given the choice to play, and I'm not trying to offend John Philip Sousa at all because he was such a tremendous composer and the greatest.
He's not listening. Don't worry about it.
But given the choice between, you know, playing that kind of music or playing or being part of a high school jazz band, well, they will allow you to play, you know, even Beatles songs, but certainly allow you to play, 1-4-5 progressions, which are somehow really satisfying. There'll always be a lot of high school musicians who turn to jazz and blues and even rock because they just have more fun at it. They're more connected to it. So blues will always go in cycles and you know, there'll be the crossover records like The Thrill Is Gone, and Now That Love Comes to Town with B.B. King and U2, and then the Susan Tedeschi record crossed over and sold 500,000 copies, and Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy crossed over, Smoking Gun by Robert Cray crossed over. And then when that happens, then there's going to be a huge influx of blues fans. And right now when I tour, you know, I'm selling out everywhere I go. And I told my agent, I said, wow, I'm selling out everywhere, but my audience is so old. And I said, oh, that's right. They're my age. But what happens is that, you know, people stay with blues and jazz all their lives. And so I'm getting a lot of people that come out and then, at the same time, I'm getting a lot of young people that are coming out to see me play, too, because they're like me when I was 15 and 16 and discovered blues. And every time a blues musician was in Detroit, I would go and see them. So you know, blues. And the other thing is, one other thing that I like to point out is that, you know, the Country Music Association years ago tried, you know, sat down and they powwowed and said, how can we make country music more popular? And they have made it more popular, and basically what they've done is they've made it pop music. You know, I was watching The Voice last night, and there was a guy singing a pop song, and Blake Shelton said, well, I love it when people play country songs like that. And I was thinking, well, come on, Blake, that's not country, that's pop music. So I don't know if I want blues to be more popular, because the way to make blues more popular is to do what country western did and just have all your stars getting out there singing pop music instead of country, you know.
So. Yeah, sometimes you lose the integrity of the music if you try to make it something else.
Absolutely. And I don't want to see blues turn into pop music. I like blues just the way it is.
Blues?
Not that in that context you can't be like James Cotton and expand it and combine it with soul, or like Paul Butterfield and take it to a million places, or like Taj Mahal, who takes basic blues and turns it into New Orleans or funk or whatever. In other words, I don't want to put blues in a box. I want blues to be able to permutate as it's done and morph into a lot of different forms of music. But I don't ever want blues to be what I would consider pop music.
James, we're coming up to our next break. What I want you to think about during the break are those three or four blues artists that you would say have just been at the top of the field over the years, people that you would try to either emulate or that you really admired. And
I'd love talking about that. So I'll sit tight here.
All right, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Rhode Island, don't forget to bring your unwanted household goods to the Planet A Donation Center, conveniently located at 1 Mile Corner, 533 Broadway, Newport. Stop by any day between 9 and 3 with kitchen goods, home decor, soft cover books, and housewares packaged for travel. Their attendant will help you unload. Please don't leave anything outside. Not sure if it's okay to donate? Call 774-217-8954 to ask. Planet Aid is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the environment and funding worldwide development projects for the poor.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest the Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest the Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, It ends in arrest. Arrest the pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves your baby? ArrestThePest.com. 738-3766.
Barry's Discount Service Center. We offer free diagnosis on all check engine lights, and our exclusive Repair Now, Pay Later program allows you to service your vehicle today and pay 0% for up to 6 months. We have the least expensive labor rates in Newport County. We've helped our customers for over 60 years, and there's no better place to have your vehicle repaired and saved. Ask about our Barry Family Plan and save another 10% off our already discounted labor rate. When your new vehicle's warranty ends, that's where our service begins. Take the drive, you're worth it.
Barry's is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses.
Designer fashions for $10 or less? Newport's 10 and Under has famous name men and women's fashions with shipments of new designer clothes and accessories in every week. Located in the shopping center across from Barry's Automotive at the Rotary, look for your favorite mall brands for $10 and under at 10 and Under.
Pick Postal for all your shipping needs. UPS, FedEx, and the Postal Service. Postal does it all, including custom packing. Whether you want the quickest shipping or the least expensive, they'll give you expert advice and great customer service. Aquidneck Ave, Middletown, or Bellevue Ave, Newport, next to CVS.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the town, Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
Here's my buddy, Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. We are talking with James Montgomery this afternoon. James is being inducted into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame on Sunday. And you can actually catch that if you can go to the either go to the Met directly. What time does that start?
I think there's like a ceremony that happens inside the actual Music Hall of Fame part of this, that where you walk through the Hall of Fame itself. I think that's around 2:30 to 3:30 or something like that. And then I think the actual showtime starts around 3:30, I think, is when the music starts. So I think there's a walk through around 2:30. And then after that, we go over to the Met, and then everyone starts playing.
And so you can either go online to the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame, or probably just go to the Met and pick up tickets. It's reasonable, and it's a great event with a terrific lineup of people will be there. You guys are going to play. Duke Robillard's going to play. Go right down the list of some really incredible people that will be making music, as well as honoring some of those people who have been so important to Rhode Island's music scene.
Yeah. The unveiling ceremonies are going to be at 2:00. Then the doors to the Met open at 3:00. And then there's some statements, and then it's a couple of inductions, and then I play at 4:30, and apparently I'm the first performance of the night.
And so I asked you before we went to the break to think about those people in blues that have been most meaningful to you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, I built a washtub bass and I made a harmonica rack out of some clothespins and some stuff for my dad's H.O. Railroad set, and so I would play washtub and harmonica and play along with Jimmy Reed records and Muddy Waters records, and I would, you know, dream about Muddy and Johnny Hooker, James Cotton, and all these people. And I just been so fortunate to be able to play with all those guys, you know. Of course, I only played one night with Muddy, but I played really often with John Lee Hooker. And when I was about 19, I started, being in his band. And so those guys, you know, those older guys who were that second generation of blues that were the transition between the Delta and urban blues, those guys are always the guys that I really just revered and was so proud to be able to meet and play with. And in James Cotton's case, we became lifelong friends. He called me Dad, and I called him Son for the past 10 or 15 years that he was with us. And John Lee Hooker became a lifelong friend, and he called me on the phone a couple of months before he passed, and we had a great conversation. And so those guys, you know, were really important to me. I became friendly with Paul Butterfield when he was living in Woodstock, and so he was my biggest influences. Were James Cotton and Paul Butterfield in terms of how I wanted to present blues and what direction I wanted to take blues in. And in terms of my phrasing, it was Junior Wells, who would sit in front of me at shows and nod approval if he liked something that I liked. And then he'd shake his head no and look down at the ground if he didn't think I was playing something good. You know, so those guys were really close, and I was just lucky to be part of a generation that was able to hang out with these first generation urban guys. And in those days, you know, you could just like walk into Cotton's dressing room or walk into Muddy's dressing room and say hello. There wasn't any of this kind of security that you have to go through now. And then, you know, eventually, I meet Steven Tyler when we're both getting started, and those guys in Aerosmith become really good friends, and I love that band. I just think they're not only great guys, but they're so blues based, and the only band I can think of that still has all of its original members and tours occasionally. And then the Allman Brothers, you know, Greg Allman became a great friend. They were a great band to tour with because they would let you have anything they had, you could have too. You know, they'd let you have dinner with them, or if you wanted to use all the equipment or whatever. Some bands wouldn't let you use certain kinds of lights or wouldn't let you use monitors, but they, you know, Allman Brothers were a great band to tour with. And of course, I met Bruce Springsteen when he sold 75 tickets the night I met him. So that was a while ago.
And he did a little better after that.
yeah, he sells a little more than 75 tickets now. And I did get to meet Mick Jagger and jam with him a little bit, and my brother John was George Harrison's promotion guy when his record label signed with Warner Brothers. So I got to spend a few days with George Harrison. I've got this, you know, meet a lot of people and spend time with a lot of people in the business, and it's been great.
So at one point in my life, I was involved in a theater and did a fair amount of booking and brought in a wonderful young blues singer, Shamika Copeland. You're familiar with her?
Oh, I love Shamika.
What a
Shamika
voice she has, huh?
Since she was a teenager, and of course I knew her father, Johnny Clyde.
Yeah, great guitar player.
Yeah, when Coco Taylor passed away, you know, I told Shamika, I said, you know, Shamika, Coco's gone. So now you are the reigning queen of the blues. And I really think of her like that. And of course, you know, I had her on my radio show, and I've done several shows with her. And actually, when I booked some charity shows, I included her on some of them. I'm a huge fan of hers, but you know, she told me growing up with Johnny Clyde, she'd be sitting there Sunday breakfast, you know, having dinner having eggs and bacon with Johnny Clyde Copeland, Muddy Waters, and Howlin' Wolf.
Not bad.
They weren't at my breakfast table, I'll tell you that.
If people want to hear an incredible female blues voice, Shamika Copeland, yeah. Just amazing, I think.
Yeah, like I say, I call her the reigning queen of the blues.
There's another guy who I got to know fairly well over time, who I think kind of was more folk but also did some blues, Richie Havens.
Yeah, you know, another great guy, you know, who I ended up doing some work with. And one time there was an art gallery up in Maine, and she books stuff. I mean, it's only like a 30-seat thing, and people come there for the love of the music and the love of, it's called the Mass Cove Galleries in Kennebunkport, and she still has live music, but to be able to play with Richie Havens with just a crowd of 30 people was just really incredible.
And for those people who don't know, Richie was the opening act at Woodstock, and they wouldn't let him go for a couple of hours anyway, 2, 3, 4 hours. In the last song, he ran out of songs. And so he took an old gospel song and turned it into a signature song, Freedom.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Pretty amazing. I actually, I had Richie, and I brought him over to a friend's house. He loved to play bocce, so he spent a morning playing bocce over at a friend's house. I've got pictures of that. I probably am the only person on
Earth. The thing you least expect, you know. who would guess that Southside Johnny from Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, his hobby is rose gardening. I mean, you know, who would guess Richie Havens was up there playing bocce, you know?
And it wasn't bad. He was pretty good.
Well, you know, I guess bocce is a sport that you could probably learn in an afternoon.
You could probably learn in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But Richie, anyway. When he played, he still had all of his jewelry on.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Amazing
guy. Was he wearing a Doc Sheiky when he played?
He was, indeed.
I used to have a Doc Sheiky. I wonder what happened to that thing.
Another person we talked the other day, another person that you mentioned is another one that I admire a great deal, and that's Grace Kelly.
Yeah, I've got a show with Grace coming up on July 13th at the Katharine Hepburn Theater in Old Saybrook. And I'll tell you, anyone within listening distance, it's worth a trip down there. It's a great theater. And, you know, I started working with Grace when she had just turned from 12 to 13. As a matter of fact, when I found out about her, she was 12, and then I saw her play a week later, and she turned 13. So basically, you know, and she's got a great story because, you know, for me, I wasn't even going to go, and I showed up at Scholars. I don't know why my car drove me there. I was on the way home from aura therapy. And anyway, and I ended up in the front row, and as soon as she walked on stage, I said, wow. You know, she was 13, but I said, man, this girl has some stage presence and some charisma. And the first song she played, I nudged the person next to me. I said, man, she's 13. She plays like Stan Katz. It was unbelievable. And her side of the story is that she had seen me play the night before, opening for B.B. King at B.B. King's 80th birthday party at the Symphony Hall. And they saved some seats for me that were right in the front row, right in front of her. And her side of the story, my side of the story is this 13-year-old walks in and I'm going, wow, look at this. This is going to be something. And her side of the story is she's walking on stage and says, oh, my God, James Montgomery's in the front row. You know, because I had just played with B.B. King the night before.
And for those who don't know, Grace, she's a terrific sax player and also a great voice. And she is, she's what, all of 24 now maybe?
Yeah, I think she was 23 a month ago. I never know when her birth, I gotta find out when her birthday is, but yeah, and, you know, she's really, you know, she started out as a singer writing kind of poppy, jazzy things. But, you know, I mean, she's only 23, but at this point, some of the stuff she does with her vocal that kind of imitates an alto saxophone is just incredible. And everybody who knows her knows how really, you know, far beyond her years she is. And as a matter of fact, when she met Wynton Marsalis, she was with Ann Hampton Calloway, who's one of her mentors. I'm her blues mentor, by the way. She calls me her blues mentor. Because some of her early instructors, like Lee Conant, said, you know, you really should find someone to play some blues with and everything. So I took her under my wing in terms of playing blues and R&B and hooked her up with James Cotton. And I also hooked her up with Huey Lewis. Anyway, when she meets Wynton Marsalis, at Tanglewood, Ann Hampton Calloway introduces her, And he goes, well, what do you do, little girl? And she says, I play the saxophone. And he pats her on the shoulder and says, well, keep practicing, and maybe your dreams will come true. And, and Aunt Hampton Calloway says, Winton, she's on the bill. So Winton called her the future of jazz when she was like 15 or 16, and she's already played with him at the jazz series he does at Lincoln Center, which is every jazz musician's dream. She's done it like three times by that time. She's 23 years old. So.
James, I'm going to hold you there for a minute. We're going to go to our last break. When we come back, what I'd like to talk about is your charitable work. You do a fair amount of that, and I think that's something people should know about. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Okay, great.
This is Steve Lombardi, Executive Director of the East Greenwich Chamber of Commerce. We have been the business voice of East Greenwich since 1929. Our mission is to promote business development and foster cooperation between business, government, and the community. We are committed to helping to make East Greenwich a better place to live, work, play, dine, shop, and do business. The Chamber provides many benefits such as networking events, townwide gift certificates, business education opportunities, and lobbying efforts. The Chamber promotes many community events such as our Main Street Strolls, East Greenwich Restaurant Week, the Greenwich Odeum, the EG Farmers Market, and many others. Membership in the Chamber says you support the business community and the community as a whole, and that you want to be part of moving us forward. For membership information, contact me at 401-885-0020 or steve@eastgreenwichchamber.com. You can also visit us at eastgreenwichchamber.com.
Is one of your goals to find a cleaning service for your home or office? I have the perfect solution, Steph Spotless Cleaning. I recently started working with Steph and her crew at both the radio station offices and in my new Portsmouth home. The staff here have been raving about how clean everything is and how personable Steph and her team are. So I decided to give them a try at my house. The results were spectacular. Steph uses an all-natural cleaning product line, and the smell in the house is incredibly fresh and clean. I think this experience for me has been pretty close to the old days of having a cleaning lady, someone who treats my home like it was their own, someone I can trust. I've been through the experience of hiring a service and seeing new faces every time cleaning day came around. Not so with Steph's. She shows up at every job, rolls up her sleeves, and makes the magic. And she's fully bonded and insured. Find Steph's Spotless Cleaning on Facebook or contact her today for free consultation and 20% off your first cleaning at 932-6050. That's 932-6050. Steph's Spotless Cleaning.
Corrigan Financial realizes the need for financial planning services has never been greater, due in part to essential concerns such as longer life expectancies, spending demands, and income tax and estate planning. Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan and that all financial decisions should be made within the context of that planning framework. Currently, Corrigan Financial works with over 950 families, manages over $600 million of investment assets, and prepares income tax returns for nearly all their clients. Corrigan Financial's knowledgeable staff includes 11 CPAs, many with advanced degrees and financial planning-specific designations. These people, along with considerable investments in systems and technology, have helped keep Corrigan Financial at the forefront of the wealth management profession. Corrigan Financial. For more than 25 years, helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
The arrival of springtime means it's time to start thinking about venturing outside. And when it's springtime, no place shows it better than Ben's Furniture. While you were inside, staying nice and warm, a lot's been going on at 166 Thames Street. New sofas, new styles, new fabrics. In fact, right now, sofas start as low as $599. For a solution to company that might be on the way, check out Ben's extensive selection of sleep sofas and futons. When you're ready to change the look of things at home, add a little splash of color from Ben's great collection of area rugs in cottage, coastal, and whimsical designs. Discover Ben's unique array of gift and accessory items, perfect accents for any room. And for those not quite ready to face the new season and want to crawl back into bed, Ben's has new mattresses for that important good night's sleep, and they're all on sale. So get out, get moving, and get into Ben's, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Wednesday, till 6 Thursday through Saturday, noon to 5 Sundays. Celebrating 76 years in Newport.
And welcome back to the last segment of Open Forum. With us today is James Montgomery, being installed this Sunday into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame. And lots of activities going on. If you want information, go to info@RhodeIslandMusicHallOfFame.com. Info@RhodeIslandMusicHallOfFame.com. And you can get all the information about the events. Actually, it's a few days of events. And James will be performing on Sunday afternoon after the induction, along with Duke Robillard and some others. So it sounds like it's a really great event. I wanted to talk, James, a little bit about some of the charitable work you do. And I think you have an event coming up at McCoy Stadium in the fall. Hello? James? Whoops. James?
Oh, my phone goes a little crazy every
time. Okay. So it's under my ears.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your some of the charitable work you're doing. I want to talk about you're doing a I believe it's some kind of an event at McCoy Stadium in the fall.
Yeah, we are. We're putting together something at McCoy Stadium on the 29th of September, and right now we've got the headliner narrowed down to a very small list, but they're all huge acts. So I'm anticipating that by the end of the week or the beginning of next week, we'll have our headliner in place. But they're really big time acts, and right now we're imagining. I'm trying to push for a B stage with the what I'm going to call the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame stage. And get all the Rhode Island people on that stage during the course of the afternoon, and take some of the money that comes in for the benefit. It's for the opioid crisis in Rhode Island, and I'm trying to get some of that into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame tune up and tune in program. But we raised $250,000 last year to combat the opioid crisis in Cape Cod. So we're anticipating raising even more money at this event for the state of Rhode Island. And then this Saturday, I've got a benefit for the Yarmouth Police Department in Yarmouth, Massachusetts, which is kind of unfortunately also morphed into a memorial for Officer Sean Gannon.
Yeah, what a tragedy that was.
Murdered in the line of duty. So this Saturday is going to be a celebration of his life and also a fundraiser for the Yarmouth Police Department. Over the years, most of the benefits that I've done, although I've done a lot of them for individuals, and I remember there was one kid I did a benefit for who had a rare form of leukemia, and like 20 years later, I ran into somebody who saw me at that show, and he said, do you realize that the money you raised that day saved this kid's life? And so that kind of personal stuff is always important to me. I work for a lot of different organizations, but primarily I kind of do most of my work for healthcare, and for veterans. I've started working for veterans in 1972 when it was relatively unpopular because people thought I was supporting the Vietnam War or supporting the administration. But I was a Vietnam vet, took me up and down Tremont Street in Boston, and so there's one over there, there's one over there, and I saw these men and women living on the street and who had served our country. And so that was it for me. I said, okay, yeah, I will work for these people who served us. And so mostly it's been for healthcare and veterans. And I was director of an organization that I started that ran for about 7 or 8 years, where we're actually able to save some musicians' lives by getting them into these various programs.
Talk to me if you can think about the and that story about the leukemia survivor was incredible. How about some of those other stories? Some of the people that you've met through the charitable work that you've helped along the way, and what that means to you.
Well, I mean, there were certain people that I can talk about because a lot of this stuff is it's personal. Medical history and stuff like that, but There was one guy who was homeless, and I was able to find him on the streets of Boston. I went to Boston and went up and down the street for a couple of days and found him, and we were able through my program. Then we were able to find out that he was eligible for VA work, and we got him into a home, and which was across the street from the VA, but it was a wonderful facility. And so when the guy would go into the VA, we had, you know, you've heard, the VA in Boston, by the way, is quite good. You know, these stories about the VA, they vary from facility to facility, and some of them actually provide excellent care. The one in Boston is very good, and I actually got a medal that was approved by Obama from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and I got it when I was doing a benefit there at the Boston VA. But it's always, you know, I always like to see when you can see specific people or specific benefits that people get, you know.
Tell me about, we've just got a couple of minutes left, and I want to talk about what's next for James Montgomery.
Well, you know, right now this organization, the foundation that I'm working for, is called AboveTheNoise.org. It was founded by Christian Williams Hasiotis, who's just an incredible philanthropist and a wonderful person. And we're gonna, if this concert goes well in at McCoy Stadium, we have plans to do one in Detroit. We have plans to do one in Ohio, of course, where there's such a bad, it might be the worst state in the world for opioid addiction. And so we have plans to replicate this program in different areas and raise money to combat these programs. And you know, the money we raised last year went to Cape Cod Healthcare. The money we raise in the future, I think we're going to try and distribute throughout the state, especially to the areas that are most embattled and need to help most. So I'm going to go forward with this Above the Noise Foundation. I'm also planning a CD that'll be all original material. I've always paid tribute to my blues teachers on the records that I made, and done some covers, but this time I think I will put together an all original piece of record. So, you know, continue to record. I'm also making a documentary on James Cotton. So, you know, I'm going to continue recording. I'm going to finish this documentary on James Cotton, and I'm also involved in a documentary about my younger brother Jeff, who was a huge gay activist and responsible for hate crime legislation, and then and also continue on with Above the Noise to keep raising money to.
And so, James, we're just about out of time. It sounds like you just you've got a lot of idle time on your hands. I want to thank you. I want to congratulate you one more time on your induction into the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you, Frank, for being here.
I really appreciate it, Frank, and you've been great, and you're a great radio host and tremendously knowledgeable about all this stuff, because you were mentioning stuff that I'd even forgotten about in terms of musicians and all that stuff. So it's always nice to be interviewed by somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, and we'll catch up with everybody tomorrow.
See everybody on Sunday.
Yep.
This has been the Open Forum. The views and opinions expressed are not necessary.